Volume up.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's special comic book club. And now, here are your hosts, Be the Maggie, Justin Tyler, and Selma!
Hey! Hey, what's up, comic book club, Alex? Oh, hey, what's going on?
I'm Justin, usually, but I don't walk out to that fucking music.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
Ah, that's a matter of food. But you guys are my two princes. I adore you.
For those of you that don't know, that's the name of the song.
They gathered that.
I don't know. Really? I wouldn't have known that.
I once saw it's by a band called The Spin Doctors. Really?
Yeah, I have the CD.
Get out. CD? Cool, man. They don't release songs digitally.
What was the lead singer? What was his name? The guy from the Spin Doctors?
Douchebag.
I don't know. I saw him playing one time in Washington Square Park like a year or two ago, and he started singing that, and everybody was walking along and eating their sandwiches, and they're like,
"No, people all over the Spin Doctors."
So you were like, "Oh, this would be the perfect music to make our entrance to." Well, so the audience could be like, "Eh."
I think I explained. You're my two princes.
Yeah.
Oh,
clear. Back when I was reading comics and like the world hadn't really paid attention to them, and they released Pocket Full of Kryptonite.
That's why I put it on.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a different song. I was just like, that made me so mad because everyone else was like, "Oh yeah, Superman." I was like, "I know Superman. That friend is not Superman. No one has a pocket full of kryptonite." Irradiate your balls.
Guys, we are going to irradiate your balls with comic books tonight. We have two amazing guests for you, so let's welcome them out. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Slott and Jordan D. White. Yeah. Yeah.
Really? You haven't been on the show before? All right.
Very nice. What a friendly show we're having.
Yeah.
This is great. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. We're very excited to chat with both of you. So, Jordan, you're sitting closest, so let's chat with you first.
Sure.
You're an editor over at Marvel Comics.
That is correct.
Comics.
Have you heard of it?
No, I don't think so. Do they? Are they still open?
They're still open as of right now.
All right, good. Well,
you're a timely comics guy. I don't know.
Sorry.
Nice.
We took them over.
I'm sorry, that joke wasn't timely.
Oh. Nice. Good one. You worked on this book that came out this week, right?
Yeah.
Dark Star and the Winter Guard.
Among other
there
books, yes.
Is David Gallagher here?
Nope.
Yeah.
All right. Then we don't need to talk about this. No, this is bringing back some Russian superheroes into the Marvel Universe. You want to talk about this book a little bit?
Sure. Like you said, it's basically the Winter Guard is like the basically the Russian Avengers, you know? So what we've got there is Ursa Major, Crimson Dynamo, Dark Star, and Red Guardian. And yeah, they're like the premier heroes of Russia. But a lot of times in the old Marvel comics, they were just portrayed as bad guys just because they're Russian. Like in the old days, all Russians were evil.
Right. What happened with that?
Those days haven't changed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Or are you watching too much 24, I think?
Rocky 4,
right, there we go. Close. Very similar. Rocky and 20 are similar. But no, so in their own eyes, of course, they're heroes, and they save Russia, so they are heroes. So we're like,
yes, it depends on whether you want to save Russia or not.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, are you all Russian?
Yes.
Sorry, you guys.
Well done.
I like you can disposable.
Yeah,
which is fun.
That's the new hook that David added to it, because basically there's been a lot of Crimson Dynamos in the past.
Dynamite.
How
dare you?
Dark Star is not the first Dark Star. Red Guardian, there's been a couple of those. So David said, well, maybe that's not a coincidence. Maybe the way it is that the way the Russia has set up the Guard is that those are the characters that are they're going to be. And if one of them dies, they go, here's another one. If one of them dies, here's another one. And everybody in Russia thinks, oh, these are the same ones they've always been, when really they just keep getting replaced.
Yeah, that's
so
like
terrible. Super
that's like me in Russia.
No, which is way more interesting to read about.
Ursa Major, who turns into a giant bear.
Yeah.
He's not a terrible superhero. He's also the only one that's still the original guy.
Really, there's not like
bear, right.
Yeah, there's not a ton of people in Russia who turn into bears.
Yeah. Not I got a feeling a couple of photo shoots there like, just put a bear in there.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to talk.
Too much vodka the night before, just send in the bear.
Yeah.
Put a little hat on him, no one will know.
Was that the bear had too much vodka the night before?
Sure.
Cool. Always funny to get a bear drunk, you guys. Dan, let's chat with you. There was some big news today. You're working on a video game called Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions.
Yes!
Right, yeah.
Yes!
I like the game. It's not
out yet. No, it's scary. It's like you work on comic book stuff, and you Google yourself. And there'll be like one or two or three pages of this crap. And then you work on a video game, and it's like 20,000 pages. The video game audience is so much larger. Then that it's weird. It's like you'll talk to a kid like, you like Spider-Man? He's like, yeah, and he doesn't know there's a comic. Like he knows it's an action figure, it's a movie, it's a video game. But it's part of it, so it's weird. So working on that video game has just been like, yeah, you get a lot of great response. Like, I'm working on the Spider-Man, issues of Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah. I'm working on Spider-Man video game.
Could I Google myself?
If you got an iPhone, you can do it right now.
Okay.
In front of everybody.
But the video game of you is way more popular.
Way more popular.
All right, that's all right.
Which is
great gameplay.
It's really good. You're very controllable.
Don't I know it?
The thing that was announced today, though, there's four Spider-Men that are going to be in the game. We already know it was Spider-Man Noir and regular old Amazing Spider-Man.
Boring
Spider-Man.
Yeah. But today it was announced there's going to be a Spider-Man 2099. Is that right?
Well, 2099, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shouldn't it be...
It's just a number,
shouldn't
guys.
Shouldn't it be Spider-Man
3010? Oh, no.
That's a different character.
No, totally different.
But, and we have not revealed the fourth and final Spider-Man in Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions.
Okay.
When will you be revealing that?
Whenever Activision tells me I can. They're so scary.
Peter Parker.
Yes. But we're going to do... one of the things that was also announced was if you advance order the game through Amazon.com, you can get the Iron Spider skin for Spider-Man 2099.
Skin?
Which looks awesome.
In the game.
In the game, yeah. I was like, whoa! What a weird promotion.
Yeah, the Scarlet Spider skin, you get like Tom DeFalco's flesh.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be ordering that game, but thank you.
I've got so much of that already. Ew.
You got it in your no-prize envelopes?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they used to send that.
Did anyone here ever get a no-prize envelope?
I wish.
Oh.
I can send you an envelope. It'll be the same thing.
I did not get one, but I took one when I was on staff and I saw a box of them, so I didn't earn it.
Yeah.
I stole a no prize.
Well, this is a...
You earned it retroactively when you were on She-Hulk.
I'm sure. Peter David's sad story is that when he got one as a kid, he actually opened it because he wanted to see what the prize was.
No,
there's no prize inside.
I think that's terrible. What a terrible... I thought it was a joke and then there was a prize when I was...
No!
That's fucked up.
You get that deal?
You know how what a big deal that would have been if I was like, I found a mistake. This is so exciting. Like, I'm a big fan. And finally to get validated by the people in charge and then to get an envelope with nothing in it?
No prize for you.
That's like discovering
it's
your
right
parents
in the name.
Hate you. So
yeah, if your parents were called the hate parents, maybe. It's a no prize. It's right there.
When I was on staff, we also started a practice that we kept doing for a while up until Marvel went more digital. Which is the letter columns used to be on physical boards. And back then I was the art returnist, and I said, and you couldn't reuse it because it would all be icky once you pulled the stuff off. So you were throwing these things away. And I went to Mark Grunewald and I said, like, can we do something with this? You know, why are we just throwing, can people draw on the back of it or something? It seems a waste. And Mark, when I have an idea, and what he started doing was you would randomly pick a letter since the address was on it, and you would send the actual board that ran in the comic with your letter on it. You would get that as a fan. And it's neat to meet people over the years that got those. Like, I got my letter column. And it was random. You never knew this was coming to you.
That's just a prize.
Yeah, you got a prize on this.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
When we were talking about what we could talk about with you guys on the show today, you were mentioning that you both got into the industry as fans. right?
I don't think there's anybody who didn't.
Well, yeah.
I'm sure there's.
Oh, I hate this shit. Oh, here we go.
I have written a play. Maybe they'll let me write a comic book. So, no, but everyone has like at least some kind of knowledge or love. No one falls into it.
Do you feel like
makes
no
sense?
No one.
Did you fall into it, Jordan?
Oh no, I saw it out as well. Yeah, I love comics. I still read tons and tons of comics every week.
You read way more than I do.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm a professional football player. I hate it. I don't know why. It's just a day job.
Yeah, how's your tendon doing?
Thank you for asking. I don't know.
What team do you play for?
Boston. Boston.
Yeah, quite
commute. Yeah, quite just, commute. Well done.
Yeah, it's 2 days. We tour a lot.
Part of the training, you know, is getting back.
Is that what they call it, a football tour?
Sort of, yeah, it's like a tour. I run to New York with weights on my hands. Gotta have good arms for the.
You guys have a big game at Radio City?
Right? Yep, we're playing against New York.
Wow. I love that you were able to remember what city we were in.
You can name any city, but not every city has a team. That's the thing.
All right, we're getting a little off topic here, I think, you guys. So let's take this opportunity to get into our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
Hooray for the stack!
Are you serious, man?
Yeah, James, why did you do this?
Yeah. James Chair. What a great drum lead in, though.
Booth Man,
everybody. Man, he is ruining this show. Booth Man is.
Applause in the middle of a show for this shit?
You know, I did so much instead.
No, you got us up to four princes now.
It's actually, yeah, and it's exponential princes. So.
Oh.
Anyway, speaking of numbers, let's move on and talk about Avengers Prime, number one. He's putting together Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man in a marvelous team up. What'd you guys think about this?
Oh man, it was a little rough the way Iron Man and Captain America were fighting like that. You hate to see that. And Thor was like, "Guys, really? We're in the middle of a crisis here. Can we?"
Yeah.
And they were like, "You're right, Thor. We're sorry."
I like that. I think it's those two
really?
have some issues between them.
Yeah, I know, but to like get in a heavy fight and then Thor would be like, "Hey," and then like just completely drop it.
See, I just identify with those characters because it's like us, you know.
You right. are the big three.
Huh?
Yeah. Which one is which?
Huh? Whew, I don't know. That's
well, you're the beard gotta be Thor.
No. Iron Man?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you're wearing a tie.
Because I'm wearing a tie right now?
Yes.
You were like, "You're Iron Man." Is it because I'm some sort of drunk?
Because you're a cocky playboy.
All right. I'll take that.
You've got to be Captain America because you were created by two Jews.
That's our show, everybody.
That's my life, everybody.
Nice. What'd you guys think about this comic?
Oh, so Pete's Thor. That doesn't make any sense.
He's got the beard.
Huh?
Yeah,
I do.
Well, see,
this is very arbitrary. Let me say that.
But that's the thing. That's what doesn't make sense.
And Pete turns into a doctor when he leaves.
Because, as you just said, Thor was the peacemaker in this, so that's not Pete.
Pete's the guy. Exactly.
If by peacemaker you mean a missile, then yes.
No, I thought this was terrific.
Great first Gulf War reference.
Well, it was a little more of a
Culkin. And Pete has the one syllable name.
Yeah, there you go.
Great. That makes perfect sense.
What'd you guys think about this
cut? Alan Davis is an amazing artist.
Yeah, art's amazing.
It's great seeing him team up with Bendis, one of the premier writers and with one of our best artists. It's absolutely great. And I know you're saying you weren't that into that. I think that's great. You know,
no, but
Thor wasn't around for Civil War, maybe. If he was, he would have been like, "Guys, what are you doing?"
No, but I want him to get into it. I just felt like...
You want someone to win?
No, I really want them to
deal with
get it all out there. And I feel like it was just such a tease of the argument that we've been waiting to happen for a while.
And they've already sort of moved past it in the main continuity.
It's happened. I mean, the argument happened.
It was... They barely talked about
it. Whoa. So you're saying that like year and a half of Civil War where they're going back and forth on that wasn't enough of that argument?
But this argument's
where's
about
the real detail?
Iron Man just got his memories back. Yeah, exactly. Conveniently, he forgot that he sort of did that. And then Captain America came back from death, which Iron Man caused. Yeah, they have to deal with some shit.
Yeah, they got some stuff to catch up on.
All right? They got to catch up on that.
Yeah.
It was not Iron Man's fault that Captain America died.
Luckily, this is
he
more.
Got him incarcerated.
Luckily, this is more than one issue.
Thank you for your home, folks. That's true.
That's true. I hope in the next issue they pick up the fight again.
Actually, I mean,
they're like demon hordes. Hang on.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
got some stuff.
This was actually my favorite comic of like the month. And because whenever there's like a comic like this, I think I've reread this one more.
In your face.
In my face?
Yeah. I have said you had a comic come out this month.
Yeah. Eat it in your face.
No, that's fine. This is fine.
This is like one of the comics I've been reread the most as well. And one thing is like when something like gets my attention this much, as a writer, I want to dissect it. And I want to take it apart and be like, how did this work? How can I rip off things that this guy has done structurally and like what's he doing? And I thought these pages like how there are pages in here I would never write in a million years, and they work. Like this is 9-panel page of a man's eyeball. Bendis wakes up and he writes, panel 1, black panel, panel 2, black panel, panel 3, glint. Panel 4, eyeball. Panel 5, eyeball looks a little to the right. Panel 4, eyeball looks straight forward. Eyeball closes. Eyeball opens, pull back to see it's part of an Iron Man's mask. I would never write that
and
page.
Then Bendis goes to sleep.
Yes. That's one day.
No,
one day in time. Yeah.
No, but like day to day. But you read this whole thing and you get really, at no point did I stop and went, It took me to like reread it a bunch of times to stop and try to analyze page by page what did Bendis do before I looked at that one. Damn, is one of the ones in there that you got the Brave and Bold by Straczynski with
no.
Okay, you get to the end of like the anyone. Am I spoiling the end of Brave and the Bold for anybody here? Legion of Superheroes.
Just
it'll
do
be
it.
Devastating.
Go for it.
It's a week old.
The last panel is the Doom Patrol with their asses facing you, walking away in a tiny panel, and they're all just quibbling about nothing. And then there's these little captions, and one of them goes, do you want to know the mystery of the pink fluff that they found? Read next issue. And I'm like, that is the weakest ending I've ever had. I better come back next week.
You really emphasize their asses when you're doing
the
description.
Asses and pink fluff. Nothing like that.
That's what JMS wrote in his day.
No, but then you see like the last shot of the story in this. And, oh my God, the Enchantress is back in a double page spread and she's just zapped for it. Oh my God. Like, I've got to come back next month for this. Yeah. I have to know what's going to happen. This was an awesome comic.
This was great.
It's a great, fun comic. My only little quibble with it is that it's all about Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor teaming up, getting together. Oh, great, we're going to see these big three Avengers together. And they're immediately split up. And I know over the course they're going to get back together and work together, but it was a little bit of a bummer to see them immediately split up right in the first issue.
I like that. I like that they have to find each other. I like Captain America fights like 100 demons, and then he picks up, it looks like a candle bottom. And he picks up and he's like, this will be a shield. I don't care. It's sort of my thing, so I gotta throw
it. He said he liked it.
He picks up a golden shield.
It's a shield.
It's a shield.
It's not a candle.
It looks like the bottom of a candle.
Oh, you mean like the thing that, like a metal thing?
Yeah, like where you...
Hey, if it's
I live in the 19th century.
Congratulations on your time travel, by the way.
It's not easy. I gotta do a bunch of shit.
Anyway, I think we can all...
drink this stuff.
Great comic, pick this up. Let's move on and talk about Brightest Day, number 3. You guys, there's a Brightest Day come to the DC Universe. And if by Brightest Day you meant ring made out of skeletons and 2 skinned bodies, then yes, Brightest Day indeed.
I like this issue more than any of the other ones before this, more than 0, 1, and 2, just because I felt like the other ones are just so crazy. They're spending a little time with each person and kind of catching up to speed, which I enjoyed.
It's like a high school reunion. It's fun.
Yeah, it really is.
I just thought nothing happened in this comic. And then Aquaman's like, let me try this one more time.
No,
a dead fish jumps out, and he's like, I just don't get it. And then Mira's like, you'll be fine. And then she's like,
Yeah, the 90210 hog.
Yeah.
The 90210 hog where you can hear the music, like.
Yeah, great, great shot, but literally nothing. We know he can only summon dead fish, and we know it's fucked up. Like, that's fine. Let's tell why. We need to know why.
So wait, he summons his power dead now man. Is he summons dead fish.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. So before Aquaman was the greatest superhero of all because he could talk to fish, now he can't even talk to fish.
Greatest?
Now
he can talk to dead fish.
Hey,
wow.
To be fair, he's much better at summoning alley cats.
Whale's not a fish, so I don't know how he can talk to it anyway.
It's a mammal.
He controls all the undersea creatures.
Oh, exactly.
Do you guys at all have a problem with the amount of violence in a comic called Brightest Day?
I mean, no. I just that's because it says Brightest question. Day doesn't mean it's going to be nicer.
Yeah.
Well,
And every time I read the preview for Green Arrow, Gardener's Forest, it gets me more and more excited.
Every time, really?
Every time!
I love that you read it after every issue.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing caps off a DC comic more than reading about a severed nose.
Yeah, I know, I don't like that.
It's awesome.
The severed nose is actually getting a miniseries, did you guys know that?
About time.
Yeah.
This is going to go on the internet and look like such a...
Yeah, probably not the best comic. You liked it?
I think it's all right. I wasn't that thrilled mostly because I just felt like... This is weird because I was a big fan of 52, which also was a lot of stories, and they all were all happening a little at a time. No, they were great. But this one, I feel like there's not enough of anything. Like, I get like 2 pages of one story, and I'm like, oh, okay, now what happens next?
So yeah, Deadman faces off against the Anti-Monitor, and he's like, oh, I guess I won. All right, let's move on.
I feel like I want more of each story rather than like 2 pages of each story per book.
Yeah, it's a little too decompressed.
Do you get a ring with it?
You're being a jerk. Now you're being a jerk.
All right, let's move on. Next thing we're going to talk about is Serenity, Float Out. It's a one-shot. Written by comedian Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
Filling in, for those of you, there's spoilers for the movie Serenity.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it by now, I'm sorry. But the character of Wash dies at the end of the movie, and...
No.
Really?
No, it's just sad. They're just they're reliving their pain.
Yeah, like,
great death. Great death, though.
It is sad.
Was it?
So this is a requiem
leaf
for Wash.
A leaf in the storm?
I will be leaf in the wind.
Leaf in the breeze.
Yes.
Wind? There you go.
So what did you guys think? Fans of Firefly think this was a good requiem for a character?
Huge fan of Firefly, huge fan of Serenity. Didn't really like the comic until the last, like, 4 pages.
What?
When we get to see...
Well, I thought this was awesome.
Dude,
what did you like about it?
Written by Ratatouille guy.
I thought it was going to be all funny because, you know, he's a comedian, but I thought there was some real great moments in there. It was a touching story, well-written. I'm not a fan of this series or any of the other stuff, but I really enjoyed this comic. You can just walk up and pick it up. You know what's happening.
You can just walk.
You're saying you're not a fan of Serenity or Firefly?
Well, I've never seen it, so I'm not.
What?
Yeah.
And you just read this and went, "That's great."
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
That's weird.
That's how good the writing is.
Yeah.
Right.
It was. I thought
new demographic.
I thought it had its moments. I love Patton Oswalt.
Does this make you want to watch Firefly or Serenity?
Well, I've always wanted to watch. I just haven't gotten around.
He's a big backlog of stuff.
I was a little
confused. Gotta get through all of the snorks.
Because there were all these characters that I didn't know.
There's such a mythology with snorks. Such a dance.
Oh, man, now they're bringing back Thundercats, they got some snorks. Like in that kind of Boris Vallejo kind of arc snorks.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if the snorks will resonate in this day.
Some nice ripped snorks. I'd love that. That'd be
awesome.
That'd be awesome. Were we talking about this comic?
We were sort of.
Yes, here's my thing. I agree. I love the last couple of pages.
Yeah.
I thought they were much more dynamic. My big problem with the issue was I thought it was nice and it was nicely written, but most of the stories, it's three pilots who are reminiscing about Wash, and they're all telling stories about him.
One of whom is Oliver Platt.
Yeah?
Drawn as Oliver Platt.
No, okay.
I didn't see that. Really?
But all of the stories are basically about their spaceship battles or spaceships narrowly avoiding each other. And so you have panels on end of just spaceships sitting there in space over and over.
Right.
And it's just not very dynamic.
So the crux of the stories were kind of like parking a car well.
That can be really tense, guys. I don't know if you have a car or not.
You're fair. It's true.
No, to be fair to him, I think he
especially
came up with really clever tricks that Wash pulled and really clever ways that it was like, Wash is a brilliant spaceship flyer because he knows this trick about spaceships.
Yeah.
And those were good. But at the same time, like you're saying, the comics, the stories themselves were so narration heavy And I would have liked to see more of Wash talking to people, because that's what made him an interesting character on the show.
Yeah. I mean, it's written by a talking mouse who mostly cooks. Guys, why would you expect it to be...
I mean, that one scene in there when that ship parallel parks and then pulls a K-turn, yeah. I was like, what?
I don't even know what a K-turn is.
Three-point turn.
Oh, three-point turn. That's what we had.
Some people call it a three-point, I would call it a K, you know.
All right. Cool. So a little bit mixed there. Let's move on. Talk about heralds.
Was that
Catherine Amonin, everybody. Catherine Amonin. This is a series written by Catherine Amonin, bringing together some of the female characters in the Marvel Universe to battle an unseen threat. What did you guys think about this first issue?
Well, I love the first joke. Solid first joke on the first page. I laughed out loud at that. And then after that, I was like,
what was the joke?
Yeah, what was the joke? I forget.
On the first panel, something like...
I wrote a dirty joke on
what?
He loves it.
That's not what I'm reading for. No? Okay.
But that's not important right now. It was like a kind of
the old...
The old comedy joke? Yeah,
cool.
That's not important right
You'll just have to imagine it was a very funny joke.
I can't remember what it is.
Great
the
comedy joke.
Pete, I'll help him out. Think of the funniest joke you ever heard, and it's even better than that.
Yeah. Nice.
Do you want to know what it is?
Sure.
Yes.
All right.
Are you going to do a reading?
Here. You want to be the blue guy or the red guy?
I'll be the red guy.
That's just the Passover service.
Hang on. I'm refocusing.
What's that?
It's the thing we do with the telescope, but that's not important right now.
No, I meant that. That absorbs
the
dip.
That was it. The joke's already over. The joke's already over.
That was the joke?
Yeah, that's not important right now.
Yeah, you're
that is a good joke.
That's like an airplane.
You know what? It was my delivery. I'm sorry. I ruined the joke.
No, but it wasn't.
I really enjoyed this comic. I thought it was a lot of fun. I'll be honest with you. I like Catherine Amonin's writing a lot. I was a huge fan of Patsy Walker Hellcat, but I feel like the past couple of stories she's written, I haven't quite followed. They've been more on her crazy side than her funny side.
She writes
and
wild dialogue.
Yeah, and I walked into this thinking, okay, Catherine Amonin, this is your last chance, and I loved this.
He's letting you know you're saying her name.
Imminent. What? Imminent?
Yes.
Imminent. Sorry. Katie.
What?
Wow.
Cool.
Can't even get the first name right.
K-Turn. I like to call her K-Turn. This is very funny, really action-packed, really creative, and everything that I liked about Patsy Walker Hellcat is, I think, back in this issue and even more so.
I would like her to write a comic without Patsy Walker Hellcat.
I would not.
When she was like, oh, of course, Patsy's there. She's around all the time.
Were you just booing all comics without Hellcat in them? Because that's an awful lot.
What do you guys think about
stance.
This one?
It was fun, you know. It's her stuff is pretty crazy, like you said. And I was kind of sitting there going, how does the White Queen know all of these good guys?
Yeah.
But there you go. What,
you meet at cocktail parties, you know.
Oh yeah.
I wish it was about Galactus's heralds.
Wow, fight! Big fight going on here, you guys. Would you say pick it up?
No.
I would. All right, let's move on. Joker's Asylum 2, The Riddler, number one. Justin, you wanted to talk about this one a little bit. So
I thought it was funny. There's did anyone read this?
No.
Okay.
Nice.
Wow. So I bought this, and throughout the issue, it's a story about The Riddler meeting this girl and becoming obsessed with her. And then it gets to the end, and there was a character there who threatens the girl and gets The Riddler in trouble with the girl. And it's like, and the Joker narrates the whole story, and he's like, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's a riddle. So then it's like, oh, that sucks. But then you reread the issue, or if you notice going through, there are all these like hearts and diamonds and clubs leading to pointing to a deck of cards.
Sure.
You with me on that? Spades?
Yeah.
Yep. And throughout
the issue. Oh, so it's the Wild Flesh Gang.
That's a good guess.
Thank you.
We don't know. It's an open-ended story. Like, say, like Lost.
Oh.
Or the end of The Sopranos.
Okay, so, okay.
Smoke monster.
This is like the beginning of a musical number.
Throughout the entire, I wish, with the season finale of Glee tonight.
What?
Hopefully it's the series finale, am I right? So, that's... I don't mean to be a jerk. Unnecessary.
It's definitely not.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Turns out the whole issue of the Joker shuffling a deck of cards.
What
riddle.
What was that?
It's a pretty bad riddle. His riddle is like, you'll never guess who is who was controlling things the whole time, who this mystery person who was trying to trick the Riddler was. But literally, okay, towards the beginning, there's a really big J that's behind the Riddler's head with a bunch of card signs, and then there's hearts and diamonds. And
in every panel.
In every single panel. The painting that the Riddler gets framed for stealing is called The Howl. So it's not really the best riddle of all
time. No, wait, I still don't get it.
What?
Harley Quinn.
So in the end, the Joker was just shuffling cards, and that was
what you call
Joker
a clue.
Responsible.
That's a clue to a mystery.
The Joker was behind the riddle.
Yeah.
Jordan, you're not a detective.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're only the world's second greatest detective. Thank you.
Plus,
good.
If he's the one telling the story, you know, you assume, oh, he's the guy.
He's Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, it was
the whole time.
A reveal just as great as Kaiser Soze was the
Kaiser Soze.
All right, let's move on. This is something Pete wanted to talk about: the bulletproof coffin.
Yeah, get up,
Pete. I believe you don't have to do that.
Really?
You don't have
pressure
to. You're under no obligation to do that. But
no, in fact, don't.
Pete, you
don't
love this comic.
Well, Dan's before was talking about like loving something so much that you want to dissect it. You should use an example of
this
like,
is David Hyde. I should totally pick this.
It's amazing. This is a perfect example of a great indie comic. The art is fantastic, the writing is cool, and it's also like, you're like, what's going on? I don't know. And it's
yeah,
just so much
what's it about, Pete?
Pete likes it when people bash him in the face for a while before he reads it. I'm so confused.
Yeah.
This is awesome!
He reads him with one eye closed.
So the comic's about kind of this dude who's a repo man, kind of, but it's in a future or something like that. And so he's going through this dead guy's house, and he comes across like an old comic book and a bunch of cool artifacts, and he takes them for himself, of course.
Not a hero.
Not yet. He's kind of the rated R guy. You're not sure if you like him yet, you know?
Oh, he's rated R.
So then
you're a rated R guy in my life.
Thanks.
Good.
Appreciate
it. I honestly don't know what that means.
He's like maybe a bad guy.
Oh, okay.
He's
all
rated
right.
R. He's restricted.
I thought that was like when you know what you're getting into. You know you're gonna love a PG movie. You're gonna love a PG-13 movie. R movie, I don't know. Mixed bag. That's not what you were saying?
No.
Okay, go on.
It was a simple reference that's got blown up. I was just saying,
anything David Hein writes is worth it.
Yeah,
I like him as well.
But you know what? They do the classic thing I dislike, which is that, you know, who's the last page reveal? Oh, it's the two crazy guys on the cover.
I
hate when they do that.
Yeah.
I don't like when a cover gives away a story, right? But at
so
the same time...
So you're sitting there going, well, obviously a little kid dressed like Frankenstein and a little kid dressed like the Wolfman, who are dangerous in some way, are going to be on the last page of this comic. Clearly...
They're not really dressed like Frankenstein and the Wolfman.
I don't know. Is that their actual heads? I don't know.
That's the mystery.
That's the mystery of the next five issues.
Well,
Jordan, you're a terrible detective. Jeez.
Really bad.
The worst all the time.
I would agree. This is a fun, creative, interesting comic. Definitely recommend picking it up. Last but not least, Thor in the World is Four, number three. We of course wanted to talk about this because
what?
Jordan.
Why are we talking about this? Jordan edited it.
That's
the
Jordan edited it.
Pete, be careful. You're going to have to aim your criticism sharply on this. This review.
What'd you guys think about this?
Great editing.
Yeah, editing was
the best editing I've read in a comic in I don't know what. A year?
Yeah,
a month?
Awesome. A month.
Can tell that the editing is getting better with each issue because it's like the first two issues were real sloppy and but now the editor is really hitting his stride and feeling his...
I don't know how I feel about this.
For those of you who isn't clear about who don't know about this, I wrote this issue actually, wrote this comic. And so there you go. Jordan, I don't know how to ask you about this, but do you want to talk from an editorial perspective how you put this comic together?
This is bullshit. Cool.
How I put it together?
Why don't you guys just real masturbatory comic book clubs?
I think we could all agree this is one of the best comics of all time. So Jordan, let's talk about how this magic happened.
Right. Well, it started with the check you wrote me.
I thought you were going to say it started with the first five writers who said they wouldn't pick this
up. Both of those are true.
Yeah.
All great comics start with a bribe.
Five bounce checks, and then one went through.
I don't know. It started with the idea of, you know, they wanted to do...
We've been doing... Marvel has been doing these Power Pack comics, which are... in some ways aimed at younger readers, although we try to do really actually all ages books that everyone can enjoy for real.
For real?
Yeah, for real.
For real.
And since there is a, I don't know if you know, but there's a Thor movie coming up.
What?
Yeah. They said, well, how about we do one with Power Pack and Thor? And we talked to some writer and he came up with an idea for it. It's a really great series, in my opinion. As the editor.
That's the great editing.
I don't just mean the editing, but I do also mean
the art.
No, this is the third.
It's going
issue.
Pretty well, I think.
Should we move on?
No, no, I think you're really getting to the core of it.
Yeah.
No, but I think, what did you guys think of it? Let's
well, I think it should be called, instead of Thor, the Warriors 4, it should be Adorable Thor and the Even Cuter Thor, because there's no...
Fair.
They're not really warriors, and it's not the real Thor. It's a cute...
Whoa.
Version.
It's real Thor.
Yeah, but...
I don't know.
Not the real Thor.
What do you mean by not the real Thor?
Is this in continuity?
Well, like, not the real-life Thor, not the real-life Thor that you worship, but the one in comic books.
Pete's a Norse... he worships Norse theology.
Yeah, what people who worship Norse theology? What are they called?
Pagans.
Okay.
It's got a baby with a hammer.
Right.
That's awesome.
This
you
is
make
the
it better than a baby with a hammer.
That's terrible in real life.
I have a baby, and I got to tell you, that's actually pretty bad.
Oh,
terrible.
Well, no, because this is already.
Is that what you did
series.
All your research? This is with the hammer and just like.
Let's try you out with different. Well, I gave her a sword first, and she couldn't lift it.
No.
And then I gave her an axe, and you know, I don't want to talk about that too much.
And it's a series that's already adorable, and in this issue, all the gods of Asgard turn into babies, so it's double adorable.
Yes.
And the most
it's
adorable thing in the book.
The Hulk thing that's going on in Marvel.
Now, and well, it's
very unoriginal.
Like all, everybody turns into Hulks versus everyone turns into babies.
Alex, this is genius because now you can take all your diapers and everything, and it's tax write-off. It's all research.
Ah, we did it.
Genius.
We did it together, you guys. And that's it for the snack. All right. It is time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Booth Man.
Booth Man.
Great.
Guys,
hey,
man. I got some things. Nice. I got some things on my chest written on these pieces of paper.
Sweet.
All right, fine.
This is for the floor, which I guess
Ooh.
Means.
So, yep, we get it.
We got it.
Favorite Sailor Scout and why? From Matt.
Wow.
Interesting question.
Favorite what?
How unusual
Sailor
that would be.
Sailor Scout?
I don't know what that is.
Is that a naval term?
That might be a question for Jordan.
Is that
I'm
a
thinking.
Small boat?
I think that's a question that everyone will have strong opinions on. But that is a question in reference to the wonderful, wonderful anime and manga, Sailor Moon.
I have a quick question. I'm looking for like about 10, like 12 or so tweets.
Tweets, yes.
Like every morning. Right.
Well, that's a really weird coincidence because every morning before I go to work,
mm-hmm.
I watch an episode of Sailor Moon and tweet somewhere in the realm of 10 to 12, maybe on the odd day, maybe 14.
Now, are you watching it on TV or do you have...
I'm watching it on an iPod. At any rate, I'm watching it on an exercise bike while I'm... And then I Twitter about it.
This is all very interesting.
This is all super interesting. And you could, if you want to find out about that, you can follow me on Twitter. What's my name on Twitter?
Crackshot
with
a zero
instead of an O. So it's Crackshot with a zero instead of an O.
Because someone already took Crackshot.
Can you get to the point? Everybody wants to know what your favorite Sailor Scout is.
My favorite Sailor Scout is clearly Sailor Moon. She's just absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
I feel like
that's a star, right?
I've never seen an episode and I could be like, Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon, okay, why? Because even though...
How'd you do that?
Yeah.
Really? Because even though she
we've
is...
We've got 12 tweets to get through.
Yeah.
Even though she is a little...
Flighty?
Flighty and sometimes cowardly.
Watch yourself,
she has the best interests of everyone in heart, and she's a good friend, and she's a true hero. That's why!
All right.
What are your guys' answers?
Well, before we get to that, if you ask that question, apologize to the rest of the audience. Raise your hand, and Pete's going to bring you some free comics.
I'm sorry.
All right, let's get the next question.
This is a question for...
Nobody else knows. Nobody knows.
I'm going to say Sailor. I've seen one. I'm going to say Sailor Mars because she's the mean one.
She is the mean one.
Are they all called Sailor?
Yeah.
Sailor Mars. Like, you don't even know that much? Sailor Mars. Sailor
you know that much? Why would I watch that?
I like the one.
And Sailor Moon has a little talking cat with a moon on her head.
Luna?
Who has a British accent. She goes, keep your mind on Santa business.
Wow.
That's like me.
There you go.
Let's get the next question.
Okay.
I like the one in the short skirt that's always like, me, or whatever.
That's creepy. That's perverted.
I'm a bit...
That's as much as I know the show. I'm the real man! I hear what you said!
I like the one in the short skirt and reaches for things.
They all look like that, is my point.
Let's get the next question.
Next question, please. This is one for Mr. Sloth.
Oh, dear.
What are the Great Lakes crew up to, and why no Great Lakes Siege or Dark Great Lakes?
You will get to see what the Great Lake Avengers are up to in the Marvel Age of Heroes number 3 in my wonderful one-page stories that have about as much plot as a hostess Twinkie has.
Nice.
That's a great question. Were there Dark Great Lake Avengers?
There's actually some stuff that I pitched, and every time I pitched it before it said, no, stop with the damn Great Lake. I pitched GLS, which was Great Lake Skrulls, for Secret Invasion, where they'd all been replaced by Skrulls, and none of the other Skrulls knew it. So it was just all these Skrulls fighting with each other, and all the Great Lake Avengers were tied up in the basement, and no one knew. And I want to do, I still want to do it someday. I want to do GLZ, which is Great Lake Zombies. the gag is Mr. Immortal is the one guy that the virus doesn't work on, and when you eat parts of him, it grows back. So the Great Lake Avengers, the reason you haven't seen them in Zombieverse is they have the ultimate food supply, they're keeping it in the basement. And it's all about the one day he gets out, and the Great Lake Avengers have to stop him. I want to do like, if you guys read it, the Squirrel Girl has a squirrel, Monkey Joe or Tippy Toe, and he always appears in the corner saying like, Tippy Toe says, and then he gives a piece of advice, or she gives a piece of advice. And one of my running gags for Great Lake Zombies is, it will be like, Zombie Monkey Joe says, and it, every single one is just, great. It's on every page.
That would be so great.
Nice.
No, you're never doing that comic. Thank you.
Great question.
Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Hey.
Why should I be excited about Avengers Academy?
Two words. Chris Gage and Mike McComb.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Who, as it turns out, are going to be on this show in 2 weeks. I wrote this question.
It's terrific. I've read issue one. It's a blast. I had a really great time reading it. I'm a big fan of new characters in Marvel Comics, and these are all really interesting new characters. I think it's wonderful.
Chris has run a lot of the big beats by me and talks up. It's really not Avengers Initiative. It's Chris going off in this whole new direction, doing all new stuff. It's all Chris. It's really cool.
Great.
And it has for people who are fans of your Mighty Avengers, which I was one, it has Hank Pym in it.
Is in it, and the mansion too, right?
To some extent, yeah.
The Infinite Mansion, so it lives on. Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like with different books you work on. Like when I was working on Initiative, Robert Kirkman came to me and went, "Can you put Eric O'Grady Ant-Man in your book? Like if you don't put him in your book, Bendis or Miller or somebody's going to kill him." So Initiative became this lifeboat for the irredeemable Ant-Man. And I was like, they're just going to destroy the Infinite Mansion. Can you put it in Academy, Chris Gage? So that's my lifeboat. So there's fun history there.
You did well by Ant-Man. Now he's in Secret Avengers.
Now he's Secret Avengers. We kept him alive, and now he's gone off.
He grew up. In a couple years, everybody will be living in the Infinite Mansion, right?
Yeah, or Mark Miller will kill them.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Let's do a lightning round.
Lightning round. If you want to tell me, maybe. Oh, we don't know sound there.
No,
okay.
Nothing.
Oh, sorry.
Nothing.
Okay.
That's
whatever. No, that's fine. I know the lyrics.
So
we're getting up to the six princes.
Now that he's one armed, will U.S. agent become grim and gritty for the something? Does that say '90s?
Because he was so light and lovable before.
Good answer. Let's get the next question.
He'll probably have a robot hand.
What are your expectations for the last family of Krypton from Mini?
From Mini?
It says Dash Mini.
Oh,
Mini.
Yeah. That was there's a miniseries that was solicited about, instead of Superman coming here as a baby, it was his whole family, his father and mother and him all together.
Wow.
That'd be great.
Pa
like
Kent and Ma Kent find them all naked in a cartoon?
They adopt them all.
I love it.
Doro.
I'll tell you what, that reminds me, I read the last of the War of the Supermen.
Uh-huh.
That sucked. Did anyone else follow that? Like,
no.
All of the last 2 years of what's been going on in the Superman books was meaningless. Everything's back to absolute normal. All the Kryptonians have been killed. Zod, everyone's back in the Phantom Zone that was in the Phantom
Zone
before.
Yeah, not all of them, because Superman is also... the only thing that weirded me out about... Well, not the only thing. One of the things that weirded me out about it was that Superman was totally comfortable with going, I'm going to throw thousands of Kryptonian soldiers into the Phantom Zone, because they attacked Earth when Earth blew up their home.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
What a mess.
Seems like that's kind of understandable.
What a frustrating mess that was.
All right, so we're all going to pick up that miniseries. Let's get the next question.
I think this one is for Dan. What's the challenge of writing for a video game compared to a comic book?
About 60 to 70% of the stuff you write will end up gone. You're always overwriting. You're always overwriting, and things are changing. So you're going through so many drafts and so many that it's... You're so miles away from where you started, because it's all about putting out the best possible game and what's the best way to service the game. But it's totally cool because they back up this really big truck and they bury you in money.
So it's more writing, basically? It's a lot more writing?
A lot more writing of stuff that doesn't come to fruition, or the plans are scrapped for we're going this direction and oh no, we had to make this change in the game, or budget dictated this, or the gameplay wasn't working over here. So, and Marvel said we can't use this character. So can you take out that character, put this character in, make it about this, and move it over there? And you're like, okay. I've signed an NDA.
The guy that drives the money truck, he could just drive off, though, right?
No, they have those like Deathlock collars, and hooked up to little Xbox controllers, they're set.
Well, that gives me a question. How have you written very many comics that have never been published?
Yeah, everyone's written comics that never.
I know. It
means that we've got a ton.
I mean, ones that have sold, and then it's like they never got drunk.
Yeah, tons.
Yeah.
That's the nature of the biz. But it's like I've worked on video games before, so I knew this going in, because I did some Scooby-Doo video games and some Batman ones. So I knew going in that...
Same thing.
The producing it, that I knew that was part of the process. So, but yeah, Reboard has this great stack of like scripts that were never drawn from like some of the best stuff, like the unused Animal Man script that Grant Morrison wrote.
Oh, wow.
That it happens for everybody. It was weird that I finally got to write stuff for Spider-Man 2099, because I wrote a Spider-Man 2099 issue that never saw print. Never
I love that series.
So it was kind of fun.
What's your take on Scrappy Doo?
Scrappy, he's the cousin Oliver of the Scooby Doo franchise.
I was a fan of Scrappy Doo. I
love
Scrappy Doo.
That makes sense.
Scrappy Doo.
That makes sense,
huh?
Dude.
You're an asshole.
Yeah,
why
you're
not?
Annoying. You're like Scrappy Doo.
I liked he showed up and he sort of shook things up.
The formula
was very
was
strong.
Really annoying.
The formula didn't work. It was eventually they caught all those teenage assholes.
Every
it was
time.
Just Shaggy, Scooby, and Scrappy.
Well,
and Daphne, because she's the girl.
And
Vincent Price for a while.
And Velma, people have just written her.
Yeah, there's a
book.
What's it
going to talk about?
Because when Scrappy Doo came in, that's it. Sorry.
Oh, no, but
keep going?
Stretch it out? All right.
Well,
yeah, Scrappy Doo.
So we're going to get the... Oh, yeah.
But the cool thing about working on video games... No, wait, this is really neat. Is that since you get voice actors, a lot of times you get to work with famous actors that you never... And you get to put words in their mouth. So like with this, I got to do for all the Scooby-Doo guys and Don Knotts. We had Don Knotts.
Oh!
So So I got to write Don Knotts dialogue, and for this, I can't reveal all our voice actors yet because we're revealing them.
Don Knotts?
No.
Dead. Deceased.
But we're revealing them as part of thing two. But we just announced Spider-Man 2099. Our voice actor is the same voice from Spidey and his amazing friends. So and
he doesn't have a name. He doesn't have a name.
His name.
That's right. We do, I don't. We don't.
No,
know. I'm just saying. No one knows.
It's Dan Dean
Slot.
Galvanis. And that's there's but we had Christopher Daniel Barnes, who was the voice of Spider-Man in the '90s. His Spider-Man Noir. And so you can see we've got really good pedigree for our Spideys. I can't say who the other two Spideys are.
Oh, they haven't revealed who the real regular Spider-Man.
They haven't. But you can hear
Tobey Maguire.
You can hear that person's voice in the first trailer. And you should be able to spot it, but I'm not under an NDA. I can't mention it, but I got wrong. Yes,
awesome. I'm a plumber.
Natural.
It's Neil Hammond.
One more question. Yeah, one more question.
Oh, how do I pick? These are all.
All right, just speed through them. Lightning round. Real lightning round.
Why is it so cool in the front row?
Because you guys are awesome. Next question.
You can look up our
script. How true to the series did the Wolverine movie
stay? It was absolutely true. It was the first 50 issues condensed.
It was the best there was.
Screw you guys for saying
first
that.
First 50 issues.
Who is the sexiest superhero?
Sexiest? Silver Sable's my
go-to. MODOK.
He believes it. He always his go-to answer. It's weird.
Obviously, the sexiest superhero is the Purple Man. The Purple Man is the sexiest superhero.
That's next weird, question. Man. That's weird. Weird ref.
Dan, are you all right? What happened? You okay?
Jesus versus Magneto. Who wins?
The Jew.
Nice.
Take some time to think about it.
Yeah.
The last question is, in a battle between Wolverine and...
The Jew.
The and the Badger, who would win?
Wow. Wolverine.
Well, the fans. The fans.
The fans.
Absolutely fans. That's it for audience questions.
Yeah!
All right. We are going to do the world's fastest section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
Woo! Oh, come on! Dude, if you play that for trivia, I'm coming back there.
Oh, coming back where?
It's the booth.
Oh, okay.
You can't get in here!
Alright, guys, recently revealed costumes for Captain America and Thor. This is a mocked-up poster, of course, for the Avengers. What do you guys think about the costumes? Like them, there was a little bit of a controversy about, oh man, rubber costumes.
I think those are the best mock-ups of a potential costume that I've ever seen.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. People get very upset about digital renderings of things, and that's pretty much what they are, right?
Who sits at home and is like, oh, the costume designer sucks on these movies?
Pretty much most of the internet.
Yeah, no, I think that's annoying. Though I will say, awful lot of buckles on Captain America's suit.
Were these like official releases, or were they leaked or something? Or what was, I don't remember.
They say they were leaked, but they're leaked in so much as anything is actually.
You guys
leaked.
See it all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I need to finish.
I think it's cool that the stripes on his thing are the belt things. That's kind of neat.
Is but that really the dude who's going to play Thor?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I sort of miss the...
You don't like his hair?
Now, do you see why we're calling you Thor now?
Yeah, that's it. It's like looking in a mirror.
What was that?
I was greasing my hair back like that.
Wait till they get a load of me. I'm Thor.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Next thing we're going to talk about, another little bit of casting news for the Captain America movie.
Woo!
Stanley Tucci is going to be Abraham Erskine, reprising his role from The Lovely Bones, of course. And
great. Thank you for showing me that picture. That movie was terrible.
And Neil McDonough is going to be playing Dum Dum Dugan, and he's going to wear the bowler hat.
Oh, did you see a picture where he's actually growing the stash?
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. You can see online.
What do you guys think about this? Does it make you more excited, less excited for the Captain America movie?
That's great pedigree.
It makes me think that the Erskine role is going to be a larger role if they have Stanley Tucci in it.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Jew.
That's why.
It's a weird running joke.
Yeah. As an editor, it must be hard to edit out all of the Jews he writes in.
No, I'm sorry. Marvel's got a lot to make up for. We take one of our only Jews, we shoot her out into space in a giant bullet. We take our other Jew, make him evil in your book. Thank you very much.
Which Jew are we talking about?
Doc Samson.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that evil Jew now. And the other Jew, who's now we got running in Secret Avengers, Moon Knight, is the evil Jew that, yes, who, when he was a boxer, punched out his rabbi father, and then went off to kill tons of innocent people, and then...
When you're in the ring, you gotta take your blows,
and
right?
And then he's turned into a good person from Egyptian gods. Thank God the Egyptian gods rescued the evil Jew.
Now, do you have any sort of problem with a Christian baby eater man?
Which one's Christian baby eater?
He's not real.
See?
Let's not. I think we should move on.
That's the fourth Spider-Man.
Here's another little bit of a promotional thing that came out. Was this Green Lantern thing back here?
Oh, wow, they're going to use the Green Lantern symbol?
Yeah, isn't that nuts? It's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And it's also, it's like, it's now no longer Green Lantern. It's Captain Universe.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to be the bravest guy on the planet. You can be any schmuck.
I think that slogan's meant to apologize for choosing Ryan Reynolds to play Green Lantern.
Wow. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. I recently watched Blade Trinity over the weekend.
And you're
for the
still
first
still
time?
Yeah.
Are you serious? Where have you been?
Living my life.
Boston.
All right, last but not least, this is a little bit of a bigger issue, so we may only be able to touch on it, but Marvel recently announced that they are going to be digitally releasing this comic, Iron Man Annual. They're going to release a print version for, I believe it's $4.99, oversized annual, 80 pages, story of the Mandarin, who's Iron Man's arch-villain. At the same time, they're going to release it as three chapters on iTunes on the same day for what's going to total up to $5.97. Now, I was curious, you guys, being comics professionals...
Was it iTunes? I thought it was the Marvel app.
The Marvel app on
Marvel
iTunes.
App?
Wait, it's more expensive online?
Yes.
Because it's three chapters at $1.99.
You get 10 plastic rings.
Nice. Now you're shooting friendly fire.
Well, that's the thing about it. It's three chapters. Each are $1.99. So it totals up to $5.97. I mean, I'm curious from an editorial perspective, what do you think about this?
Which part of it?
The same day
thing?
Digital release.
The same day digital release? I mean, I think it's something that we all have known would happen at some point. I mean...
You don't think that's competing with itself a little bit?
Oh, well, sure. And that's why they're...
I believe it is a wise move that Marvel has made, and all the decisions are right on.
Well, I'm glad you came closer, because we're not picking you up at all. It's mostly just for Alex.
I mean, of course it is. Of
How
course
you guys
it is,
doing?
But at the same time, you look at... I mean, the fact that it's going to be more expensive in the digital version is definitely, I think... I don't know for sure, but I'm sure that is a part of that same... issue.
But is the incentive there like, oh, if you don't like it, you can stop buying after
that's
the first
true
chapter.
Too. You could only pay for one. Really, it's
but
the, well,
that's
the print,
sort of a bad incentive.
Really, the print version.
In the digital copy?
What was that?
Is there advertising in the digital version?
You know, I don't have.
That is a very good question.
I have not read any of the iPad comics, so I don't know yet. Anybody have an iPad or buy anything from the Marvel store? App?
Nice.
Are you answering your own question?
Are there ads in it or not?
No.
Answer the question.
Answer your own question.
We're not the ones on trial. Here you are.
really, it's that I think the
we
print
really
edition,
like audience interaction.
Yeah.
The print edition is actually being sold at a discount.
You paid $5 for that.
I'll do it for free outside.
That sounded weird.
He says that about everything.
Or you can pay $1.99, he'll yell at you now, so if you like it.
It's great.
The print edition is cheaper than it had to be. It's at $4.99, like you said, for 80 pages. 80 pages is...
80 pages for $4.99? Marvel is giving you lots of bargains.
but if you look at part of it is also, I think,
slot company man.
Whether we're talking about Marvel Comics or DC Comics or indie comics or whatever, there's so many people are downloading comics that people clearly want digital things, and hopefully people will feel that a cheaper digital alternative is better than stealing the comics.
Will you buy digitally or will you buy in the store?
Store.
I'd say possibly both.
Oh, smart.
I have so much money, you guys.
call that Marvel for the Muppet.
And that's it for the Winking Geek. All right, guys, we're going to move on to trivia, and for that, we're going to go over to Mr. Pete LePage.
Mr.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
All right.
Oh.
We should just stand. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25?
It's
all
so
right,
easy.
First hand up, guys.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Whisper, whisper, whisper.
All right, all right. What's your name?
Matt.
Matt, audience?
Audience, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hi. All right, so here's your possible gift card that you're going to win. Let me put that right there. So how this works is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers. There are three questions. Go 3 for 3. Gift card yours, okay? Today's trivia is on Sailor Moon.
Oh, that's so nice.
You saw it! Alright. Turn it off!
See if you can.
I don't have that button.
Alright. Sailor Moon redefined the blank. Was it A, the magical girl genre? B, the magical cat genre? Or the C, sketchy perverted dudes genre?
Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa.
A is correct! Which is not one of the major story arcs? Is it A, the Deathbusters arc, B, Dead Moon arc, or C, the Learning to Sail arc? Which is not an arc. Learning to Sail is correct. No actual sailing in Sailor Moon. Okay. Who is not a character in Sailor Moon? Is it A, Tuxedo Mask, B, Sailor Mars, or C, Naughty Cumberbund? Who is not? So
that's a Bond villain.
It is probably the last one. Yeah! $325.
He's doing that.
Have I? Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
A lot of great stuff coming out. I'm nervous and excited for Hackslash's release on Image. So,
yeah.
But I'm nervous because Vlad's not an issue. How can you have Hackslash without Vlad? We'll
it's
see
like
if Steve can pull it
it's
off.
It's
our
first issue.
Yeah. Hackslash, My First Maniac. It's sort of like Cassie Hack Year One.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to...
Wait, have you read it?
Yeah.
What? How did you read it?
I have my wish.
And you didn't bring...
This is awesome.
What? You son of a...
Cue the music!
Yeah.
Princess who... Okay,
I'm looking forward to Greendale, the Neil Young book, drawn by Cleef...
Finally.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Cleef Chung. Cliff Chang is doing it. He talked about it like a year and a half ago on this show. But I love his art, and I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, it should be great.
Batman 700 is coming out, written by Grant Morrison, with basically like a big old artist jam. Batman's past and present. I think it's going to be probably totally crazy, and I'm really looking forward to it. Jordan?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I've been really enjoying the new Doom Patrol series. I know not everybody's digging it, but I've actually thought it was a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that.
Cool. And plug some of your stuff that's coming out that people should be checking out.
Oh, right. Well, there's the last issue of Thor and the Warriors 4 is going to be out soon.
Plug
something
of
my...
Plug some of my stuff.
Why can't there be more?
If only there were more. But,
all right, you guys.
There's the Winter Guard series, the Dark Star and the Winter Guard. I also edit the Ender's Game book, so there's one of those called Ender in Exile coming out. The first issue came out, I think, a week ago as well. And I work on the Hulk books and the Hercules books, which are just...
Yeah, they are.
Nice. Nice. Dan, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Avengers Academy number 1 coming out this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The latest Cap, latest Daredevil, and just to show I'm not a total company man, the second Chew trade paperback.
Yeah.
Wow!
I love Chew.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a
cool
book.
Very enthusiastic.
And plug some of your stuff that's coming up that people should be checking out.
I got nothing. No, I got the Age of Heroes mini is still coming out with my one-page stories, which are all like just eating up time for because I'm working on the big super secret project, which we will reveal in San Diego. A month and a half ago.
Nice. It's ROM, isn't it?
Yes!
Finally.
Nice. ROM Space Night ongoing. You heard it here first.
Yes, starring Shogun Warriors.
That's going to be a mega seller. Really, really exciting.
Huge.
A couple of things before we go. You can check us out on youtube.com/comicbookclub. Also, there's a couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Jordan for being here. Yay! Dan. Woo! Dan. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, thank you, folks.
Yeah.
Nice work.